Thanks for tuning in to another episode of All In San Diego. We're your hosts, AJ and Sarah, and today we're going to take a deep dive. We're going to go all in on a place that I can honestly say is one of my favorite places in all of San Diego, the San Diego Zoo Safari Park. I love it.
It's a total gem, and so is our guest. He's one of our favorite San Diegans. He's so full of love and passion and knowledge. It's Rick Schwartz from the San Diego Zoo and Safari Park. You ready? Let's do it.
Let's go all in on the San Diego Zoo Safari Park. Welcome back, Zookeeper Rick.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're thrilled to have you. The last time you joined us, it was a full breakdown on how to have the perfect day at the San Diego Zoo, which that episode is still up. We encourage everyone to check it out before your next trip to the zoo. But we were in slightly more COVID-y times back then, and some things at the zoo were open and some were not. Today, we're going to talk about the Safari Park, and it's mostly fully up and running now, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the county in California, the state of California, have their restrictions still. You want to keep safe with masks on at certain times indoors, or, you know, keeping distance from those that aren't part of your family, et cetera. But overall, yes, we're open. We're excited to be open. We've been open for a while, and people can come and enjoy the Safari Park. In fact, we were kind of one of the ones that got to open a little bit earlier than everybody else because we're an outdoor facility. And when that happened, man, locals just poured in. I think we were all just ready for something to do. And so we've had great support ever since, people showing up. And honestly, we've been blessed with some lovely weather lately too. So now's the time to get out.
We're always blessed with lovely weather.
A couple of rainy days every now and then can sour us San Diegans. But yeah, and I think, you know, on that note of the time to get out and about is now for our local community, because this window of time, January we just came out of, we're in February now, heading into March and all that. This is the window that we get to go and have the Zoo or Safari Park to ourselves without all the tourists. So, and a lot of our members know that. A lot of our local members are really out enjoying the Safari Park right now and the zoo as well before things get busy as the tourists eventually come back.
There you are. We're less than 2 minutes into the episode, and there's your first pro tip from Zookeeper Rick. Go now before all the people from Arizona start driving down and filling up the place.
Not that we discourage our Arizona friends from coming to visit.
Of course.
We love them as well. But now is the time, that we usually don't have as many tourists. So our locals really get to enjoy San Diego and everything, honestly, that San Diego has to offer.
It is the absolute perfect time to go for locals. And I know that there's something special you want to tell us about that's coming to the San Diego Zoo. But we're going to save that for last. That'll be little teaser. So stick around to the end for that. But we're going to take a deep dive first into Safari Park.
Yes, let's do it.
Well, one of the best tips you gave us about the zoo, and really something that can be applied to all tourist attractions and theme parks, is go to the website before you even leave your house, see all of the options, all of the things to do, and really make a plan for your day. So we're going to start with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the best plan. I know for the zoo and Safari Park both, you want to go to the website, click on visit, and then there's membership options, there's places to stay if you're from out of town. But the big one you want to click on is plan your visit. And there you get to see all the different options of things you can do, add-ons for the day. You get to see the hours of the park, you know, what parking looks like, all of that stuff, all right there on the website. And I think what's even the most important part, you have the option then to buy your tickets online. I mean, everything for the most part is electronic nowadays, but if you show up without tickets, then you actually have to stand in line for tickets, which means you lose some of your day at the Safari Park. So I always recommend get your tickets before you even leave your house. They'll go to your phone, an email or whatever. It's a barcode, simple. And that really just frees you up. You get to walk right in for the most part and start your day. And the other part that's important too is kind of look at the map that's online, because if you're going with family members and someone really wants to see tigers, but someone else really, really wants to see gorillas, well, you want to map out where they are and make sure you plan your day properly. Everyone gets to see their favorite animal as you're there at the Safari Park.
Showing up with tickets in hand is huge. I can tell you, as a Safari Park veteran, you're probably going to have to walk up a pretty steep hill, maybe pushing strollers and kids just to get to the entrance. And you don't want to stop down at that point. You want to get in there and get going.
Right. Exactly.
And Safari Park, as well as the zoo, it's one of those places where, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it really makes a lot of sense to look into a membership. Isn't that right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Usually, depending upon which level of membership you want, they all have their own bonuses. And I recommend that you check out and make sure you get the package of membership that makes the most sense for you and your household. Okay. But in general, if you're planning, the general rule of thumb is if you're planning on going to the zoo or park more than once, and then the membership gets you into both. So if you're planning, well, this spring we'll go to the safari park and this summer we'll go to the zoo, right there, that's usually the cost of membership. And there's benefits that come with membership. So you'll save money in the long run. And then you can come and go for the whole year from either facility as much as you want. And I mean, when you live here in San Diego, we are so spoiled with the fact that we get to be outside so much that you got to take advantage of it. I personally just love being at the safari park. It's just that wide open space, the idea that if you're just kind of for the fun of it, we always say this, the zoo itself is about 100 acres and it's a big zoo. But you could fit about 18 of those zoos in the safari park. So, yeah, Whoa. You heard that right. 1,800 acres.
Yeah.
And Whoa. 900 of that is set aside for just our native wildlife. And the other 900 is the safari park you get to enjoy as a guest. And AJ's point, you'll be walking. So yes. Bring comfortable shoes. Be prepared. But it's an amazing place to be. And you get out there on the tram tour, or if you want to take one of the other safaris that gets you out there in one of those huge habitats. I can't tell you how many times people tell me it's like going to Africa without having to pay for the airfare and all that other stuff and get a passport. So it's really just such an awesome experience.
Yeah. Real quick on the memberships. I could tell you, we had one when we lived near the safari park, and it was one of the best things we ever had. And, my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, and it was every time it was like, let's just get out of the house and get some fresh air. You wouldn't be walking around the mall. We'd be walking around the frigging safari park, seeing all these amazing animals. We have so many awesome memories from that place.
Yeah.
If you live near there, it's definitely, definitely worth it. But you mentioned, Rick, the tram tour. That's one of the biggest questions when you're planning your day. Where do you schedule your ride on that tram? Beginning, middle, or end of the day?
Yeah, it really depends. It is a must. It absolutely is a must because it is the one thing that is one of the many things that's really unique to the safari park experience. And it's part of your admission into the park. So I would say it depends on what your priorities are. So if you really, really must see gorillas, go see gorillas first. Or if you really, really must see tigers, go see tigers first, because the animals for the most part are going to be active in the morning hours. So get there right at opening. Get in the door, go see your favorite. Now, if you don't have a must-see favorite and you'd love to see the activities out there in the giant habitats, then do the tram tour first. So you see how I'm kind of, it's more up to the individual guest and what their priorities are. But I always recommend kind of take advantage of knowing your priorities. But the safari park with the tram tour, you really can't go wrong, even if you end up doing it around lunchtime or one of my favorites actually is the very, very end of the day. If you can grab the last tram tour, being out there when the sun is starting to set and it's that late afternoon, early evening feel, it is so cool. The only thing that's better, honestly, is sunrise, but that's before guests can show up. So that's always a good one to do is the last tram tour of the day.
Yes. I bet you really do feel like you're out on a safari with that sun setting and like, that sounds like magic.
And when the tram gets to the far end of the valleys that we have there, and you can kind of look back across all of San Pascual Valley, you just get this vast open feeling. It's just amazing. You get that sun setting there. It's just great. It's just great.
And guys, we probably shouldn't assume everyone listening has been to the safari park. Not everyone has been. And honestly, a lot of people I found are using this podcast to prepare for their vacations in San Diego. So someone who has never been, I'll let you take this, Zookeeper Rick, but it's a totally different experience than a zoo experience, right?
Well, certainly. So if you go to the San Diego Zoo, which is in Balboa Park, you know, it's more of a traditional zoo. It was established in 1916. And the safari park, it was established in the late 60s, early 70s. It officially opened to the public in 72. But it was established with the idea that these large open spaces will be a place to breed more animals for other zoos. You know, and our director at the time, back in the 1960s, having this thought process that we can't keep taking animals from the wild was pretty forward thinking for that time. You know, and now we move forward. The facilities are going to be, I think 50 years old this year in May, officially to the public. And it's just really, it is the way the plants and everything's grown up, you get transported. So if you walk over to tigers, for example, you don't feel like you're in Southern California. You don't feel like you're in the safari park. You've been transported to Southeast Asia where these Malayan tigers live, you know, and then you keep walking, you go around the bend and all of a sudden you're transported to Australia. You're walking amongst kangaroos and wallabies. And the whole theme and idea of the safari park is that you kind of become one of these environments, that you're immersed in it and you get to experience different species all living together and the plant species as well. So when you go on the tram, or if you want to upgrade to one of our safaris, one of my favorites is it's a wildlife safari. You go out in a truck with maybe 10 or 12 other people, and you have a guide with you, and it's, you know, you get to ask questions. You're not just being narrated to. You get to ask questions. It's interactive. They stop the truck for you know, photo ops and things like that. And those are those moments where it's just becomes that magical sort of connection to wildlife in general. And that's really what we aspire to do. You know, a bigger picture of our organization, for those who aren't familiar with it, is we are a nonprofit organization that does conservation all over the world. We just happen to also have this really cool place called the San Diego Zoo and its sister facility, the really cool safari park. And so when we can inspire people and excite people and make them feel connected to our wildlife here in San Diego, the next step then is to show them how they can support conservation as well and make a difference on the global level.
We're so lucky to have it out here. It's such a cool thing, again, to see the different species interacting with each other. And it's so much fun. So you need to do that tram tour and see all of that. You obviously need to go see your favorite animals. On that note, you said go see your favorites in the morning because that's when they're most active. Are there any exceptions to that? Is there any species that's like, you know what? I get kicking around 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, okay. So yeah, because in our summer hours, yeah, if you're coming to visit, like if you're listening to this maybe sometime other than the spring, which it is right now, then you're thinking about coming to visit in the summer. Again, go to our website and click on plan your visit. Check our hours. In the summer, we have extended hours. So those evening hours, we start to see activity level come back up with the animals. Because it's at midday, they like to take their little nap. Well, I think they're smart. I think we as humans have missed the memo on that. The midday is nap time. But they really have peak activity for most all species in morning and then afternoon. So take advantage of that knowledge to go. And again, if you go to a certain area that you really want to see that animal and they're not active in that moment, then make a plan to kind of do a loop and come back and check before you leave at the end of the day.
I love that. Animals and Europeans have really mastered the siesta. And right. I don't know why we never got on board.
I don't know, but I'm petitioning for it either way.
Yeah.
Something else that I've always heard about, I can't believe I've lived here for so long and I've never done it, is roar and snore.
Yes.
Yes. Please tell us all about roar and snore.
Well, for those who don't know, it's not just a fun, you know, twist of words here. Roar and snore is your opportunity to actually do a sleepover at the safari park. And it is really, I don't want to say all-inclusive, but when you purchase this safari, there's different levels to it. There's different tent sizes you can get, depending upon if you want to do a whole family thing or just how you want to do it. But we have actual tents there already set up with beds and cots. You're going to bring your own sleeping gear. You'll get the information when you sign up for it. But essentially, you get to then do activities and after-hour tour around the safari park. They're guided walks. There's a campfire program. Dinner is served and an evening snack as well. And then when you get up in the morning, you're there before any other public is there. So there's usually another morning activity along with a breakfast. And if you want to stay then for the day, you're there before opening. So you're good to go. It is something special. And there's different add-ons you can do. There's different versions. There's adults only, which has a little more risque conversations. And there's a family all ages one. There's Girl Scout roar and snore. There's even school night roar and snore. So again, go to the website and click on safaris to find out more about that and our other safari options. Because yeah, I've been to Africa a couple times and the chorus of sounds you hear from all the animals at night and in the morning when the sun rises is pretty impressive. You get a glimpse of that at Safari Park when you do roar and snore. You can hear our lions doing their evening and morning calls.
Oh,
you hear the
my
elephants
gosh.
Doing their rumbles and their roars that they have. It really is a special experience, and I highly recommend it, especially if you got kiddos.
Like, it seems unbelievable. I've seen people post pictures before, and they're showing the tent, and you're thinking, well, yeah, but you probably don't actually sleep in there. Like, you're probably not allowed.
Yes.
But it's...
Yeah, there's a whole camping area all
crazy.
Set up. There's guides and everything.
And unlike if you were on an actual safari in Africa, when you hear something roar, you know it's enclosed somewhere.
Yeah, you'll be safe. Don't worry.
You can go ahead and keep sleeping.
It might sound like it's right outside your tent, but it's not right outside your tent. I guarantee it.
That's amazing.
Rest easy.
That's something very unique about the safari park is if you just go and walk around and see the animals, you're going to have the time of your life. You take the tram tour, you're good to go. If you do those two things, but there are so many other options. You mentioned the Jeep tour. You mentioned the roar and snore. Is the zip line there or the zoo?
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, we have the huge flight line. You know, it's for ages 8 and up. I just want to make sure people know that because we'd have some weight and height restrictions as far as you can't be too light. Otherwise, you don't have the velocity to go down. But it is huge.
You get stuck in the middle.
Right? Yeah. It's huge. You get to go across a couple of habitats. You can look down at our greater one-horned rhinos and a few other animals and just enjoy amazing view in general. Because we have a truck that takes you all the way up to one of the higher levels of San Pascual Valley that's part of our property. And you zip down back into the main part of the park. So it's pretty impressive. And if that's a little too adventurous, we have behind the scenes tours. We have cart safaris where you just on a golf cart with another tour guide. And you get a lot more sort of intimate conversations in and Q&As with the animals and stuff like that. So there's a lot of options.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You guys have
yeah.
golf cart tours?
Yes. They're called cart tours, but it's like an extended golf cart, essentially. It's about a 60-minute tour. And they take you to certain areas, you get a little extra sort of, again, I think what makes it special is that sort of the cart can stop whenever. When you're on the tram has a route it has to take and it has to be back at a certain time. When you're on a cart tour, they take a similar route, but they can stop and pull off and you can get out and look with binoculars or take pictures. You're not going into the large habitats, but it is a more intimate sort of setting with your tour guide then. And that Q&A option where you can have that conversation about the animals you're looking at really, I think just it makes it well worth the extra money for that sort of behind the scenes or the cart tour.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then what about that hot air balloon thing? We did that one time. I'm a little bit nervous that high up, but it was really cool. And the view it can't be beat.
Yes, it is. I believe I don't remember the exact number now. I know it's higher than Statue of Liberty when you go up there. And it is. It's a large helium balloon. It's tethered. So it goes up and you have this amazing view of the entire safari park and everything else. And you know, depending upon where you live, you can point to your house. it's a great little experience. And there's a lot of different things we kind of build into the safari park experience where, you know, if you just need a break from walking around, you can still do something that you're going to be enjoying yourself. And the balloon ride is definitely one of them.
All right. So we've seen some amazing animals. We've taken the tour of our choice, which is really cool that you can really design your experience here. Now we're hungry.
Now you're hungry.
Now we're hungry. Let's get some pro tips from Zookeeper Rip on where to eat at the safari park.
Okay. So first you want to look at the map. When you look at the map, you'll see there's different areas to eat all around. And honestly, if you're looking to just grab a bite, you can stop at any of our food stands. One of my favorites that I go to with when my dad is visiting is we go to the Barking Deer, which is just a little hut off to the side, but they have fresh pizzas made to order and usually a couple of craft beers to choose from. So for me and dad, that's a perfect stop for lunch.
Sure.
If you're looking for more of a sit down though, and kind of relax in the shade, I can't recommend enough one of our newer eating establishments called the Watering Hole. It was built to look exactly like one of the safari areas in Africa where it's sort of a great hall for eating. And it is placed kind of on the rim of one of our extremely large habitats. So while you're dining and enjoying your lunch, you can see rhinos and giraffes and water buck and buffalo and everything else that's in this huge habitat. And they just kind of roam around. And it's really fun for me to go there with guests because they usually just sit there in disbelief. They're not even thinking about their food at that point because you're just watching Africa happen right in front of you. But you're there for the food. The food is really good. We have chefs that do a lot of seasonal stuff. So if you visit in the spring and come back in the summer, it might be a different menu because they like to try and keep things fresh that way.
I love just the idea of planning where you're going to eat because it never works out when you go, when we get hungry, we'll find a spot. Never works out.
And the thing to remember, if you're waiting till you're hungry, you've waited too long because there's going to be a line to order your food.
Sure.
And then the food's got to be prepped. I'm speaking as a parent who loves to plan ahead.
Yes.
You've got to get in line before the hungry's hit because you're going to be in trouble
otherwise.
That's
for sure.
Absolutely. All right. So now you're a Safari Park pro. You're going to go to the website beforehand. You are going to plan your trip. You're going to get your tickets. You're going to know where to dine. You're going to visit your favorite animals first. And you're going to have the time of your life. And if you want to know more than we can share in this podcast, you all have your own podcast now at the San Diego Zoo and Safari Park, right?
Yes, we do. And it's pretty fun. You know, I've spent my career working with animals and people, gosh, almost 30 years now. It has been 30 years now. And I've been on podcasts like this as a guest and other ones as well. And they came to me, I guess it was middle of last year, they said, hey, we're thinking about doing an in-house podcast. Would you want to be a part of it? I'm like, heck yeah. I mean, I love to talk about animals. So yeah, if you go now, it's already out. We've had a few episodes in. It's called Amazing Wildlife. You can find it anywhere that podcasts are being played. And we take about anywhere from 15 to a little over 20 minutes. And we talk about a particular species or, you know, an animal that you might see at the zoo or safari park. But we don't just talk about it. My co-host, Ebony, she comes to us from the journalistic side of the world, where I'm deeply embedded in the animal side. So it's great for us because she asks questions that I sometimes might not think to mention a fact or topic, because in my head, it's how the world works. But she brings into sort of that light of wonderment and curiosity about our world. And so we have this great back and forth. And then we try to set aside some time in each episode to talk to either a specialist that works with the animal or one of our conservation partners that we have. So we've interviewed somebody from South Africa with our African Penguin Project. We have interviewed someone from Australia for the Koala Project. So it really kind of brings in this dynamic perspective about each species we're talking about. The animal fact guy, myself, and then, you know, Ebony with the good questions, and then whoever our specialist or conservationist might be that we'll be talking to that time.
I am so, so glad that you guys are doing this, because I could sit here, I know a lot of people feel the same way as me, I could sit here and listen to you talk about animals all day long. You're so passionate, you're so knowledgeable. Like, I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. It seems like
thank you.
The perfect thing for you and the perfect way to share about all these animals that you love.
Yeah, and the feedback we've been getting is great. You know, we've gotten many parents who are saying, this is so fun. We're on the way to school, we'll listen to some, you know, half of it, and then we'll listen to the other half on the way back from school. And the kids love it and adults love it. And then I think probably one of the funniest ones for me, we have somebody at our director level in our organization said that her husband came to her and said, hey, I just listened to all of them. I want more. So, you know, here's a much older gentleman who wasn't really our target demographic, who's like, this is great, you know? So I think everyone's really enjoying them.
Oh, I love that.
That's amazing.
I love that. All right. At the beginning of the episode, we teased something new and exciting at the actual zoo. What can we get excited about coming to the San Diego Zoo?
This for me is really, really exciting, because when I started, 21 years ago at the San Diego Zoo, I started as a part-time wildlife care specialist in the Children's Zoo. The Children's Zoo was established in the 1950s, and I worked there from November 2000 till about 2010 before I started working more with our public relations department and doing speaking engagements, etc. And so my heart has always been in the Children's Zoo. Well, if anyone local knows, the Children's Zoo has been closed down for a couple of years now. We've been doing a rebuild on it, and we are opening it in March. It's now going to be renamed the Wildlife Explorers Base Camp. And I love that name because when I was working there, part of my job was to engage our guests with the animal ambassadors that we had. And I saw so many kids just light up. I heard so many parents say, oh my gosh, you know, my kid loves animals. You know, they could be a zookeeper maybe, or they could have your job in the future. And I'm like, yeah, or go out to Africa or wherever, Australia, Galapagos Islands, and do work there as well. So in my eyes, the Children's Zoo was always that place where our future conservationists and wildlife care specialists really just sprouted, just started their passion.
Aww.
And now that it's named Base Camp is really cool, because base camps are where the adventure starts. Base camp is where you really get together and get everything going before you go out on that adventure, climb Mount Himalaya or whatever. Or Mount Everest in the Himalayas, or whatever that might be. And so the fact that it's now Wildlife Explorers Base Camp is super exciting, and it's completely different. I was in there just last week, and I'm looking around going, okay, I recognize that corner, and I recognize that building outside of the old Children's Zoo. But the way they've designed it now, it's still the same 3.2 acres that it's always been, but it feels so much bigger. And because we have multi-level areas now, you get to experience something on one level, go down and experience on the next level. It's broken into four key areas. So it's the rainforest, it's the desert dunes, it's wildwoods and marsh meadows. And each area has a very distinct feel, different animals in each area, plus a lot of activities for kids of all ages to do as part of that learning process. We want play to be part of the fun and excitement of being around animals and learning and getting inspired to do stuff for wildlife.
I love this. And I really do love that it's called Base Camp, and it's animals and activities. And so, because I feel like there's no term that has disappointed more children than Children's Zoo, because little kids hear zoo and they go, I can't wait to see all of the exciting animals. And then they get there and it's always four goats. It's just four goats.
But yes, four very cute goats. But
yes,
still. Very cute.
They're adorable.
Right. Yes. No, this is completely different. This is no, and I think that, again, the name change is appropriate, because it is no longer the old school children's zoo feel. It is completely different. You are immersed into these environments. You know, one of the cool things, I don't want to give away too much, but when you go into the rainforest area, you first walk in, it's part of our entomology. So in other words, it's the spineless marvels, the insects and bugs. You are immediately hit with this waft of spring air. It is purposely aromatically conditioned. So you feel like you walk into sort of this flowery area. You start to learn about all these insects that rely on this kind of habitat. And then when you go around another corner, all of a sudden you're surrounded by giant honeycombs, and it kind of smells like honey for some reason. And you learn that the honeybee is so important for the environment. There's going to be a hive that has access outdoors. So it'll be an active hive. But you learn also about the other thousands of species of bee that exist that aren't honeybees that are also important pollinators. And then as you go outside, all of a sudden you're in this very heavy, moist, warm rainforest air, and there's going to be butterflies and leafcutter ants and everything else going on. So it really is a full experience as you go through it. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but I think people are going to be just absolutely falling in love with it. And again, Wildlife Explorers Base Camp, the old children's zoo, it's for people of all ages. And I think it's going to be really fun to see people experiencing. Again, we opened that in March, and I just can't wait for people to see it.
You sound so excited about it. Yeah, you can really feel your excitement. And when you said you walk into that room and you get a waft of something, I was not expecting you to say honey or fresh outdoors.
Usually when you're animals, at the zoo,
there's a lot of wafting, but it's not usually pleasant.
There are other
pleasant.
Areas That's... where you might smell something different, yes. But in these areas, it's going to be sort of this cool, immersive experience.
It's all part of the experience, that's for sure.
Yes. Well, maybe we'll be lucky enough to have you on when that opens, and we can take a little bit deeper dive into just that, and maybe revisit the zoo in the post-COVID era.
Absolutely.
But for now, we're just grateful you came on today. You got us all so excited and reminded us that now's a great time to go to the safari park, get out there and have a great time, pre-plan your visit. And while you're on your computer or your phone, follow the zoo and the safari park and zookeeper Rick. There's nothing more refreshing when you're going through your feed and it's like, there's another person's lunch, there's another person's kid, and then zookeeper Rick's like, here's a monkey that just got born, and it's the most adorable thing ever.
Oh my
it's
God, that's
the best
so true.
Feed refresher. Yeah.
His posts are the best. Yeah.
Was that a baby orangutan that you were just sharing very
recently?
We
recently had a young orangutan born at the San Diego Zoo. And the cuteness factor will always win the day on Instagram with baby animals. But I always remind people in the text that, yes, cute is always important. But this particular individual is also important for their species future, because a lot of the species that we focus on breeding isn't just for the cute factor. We're trying to bolster these populations. So yes, adorable, of course, but also important for the future of their kind.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Love
well, we
your
thank
passion.
You for all the work you do for animals all over the planet. And thanks for joining us, and best of luck with the podcast and the spring and summer rush at both parks.
All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. And thankfully, you're not the only person that listens. Actually, people all over San Diego are checking out this podcast every week, and we can reach them with your message for your business.
Yeah, the world is opening back up. We are all getting out and exploring San Diego. And if you want to get the word out about your business, just hit us up on our website, allinsandiego.com, or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook. Send us a message if you want to partner with us, or you can just click on the Partner With Us link on our website.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.